I want to talk to you tonight about, in the light of this morning, what we shared. We shared about the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit and how God uses us and how He releases us in this world. This morning I shared to the people that our purpose in life and our calling in life is not connected to something great that we do somewhere else where people send us to China or wherever. It's where we rub shoulders with people on a daily basis. Where God uses His gifts through us, touching the world around us, where we are. And tonight I want to just carry on from this morning, and tomorrow we're going to carry on from tonight. So it's all linked together. So if you miss one of them, just you can get a tape for 200 rand. If you can find a tape. There's no tapes anymore. But anyway, I want to share tonight about seeing God, being in His presence, and what result we can expect from that. We've got the wrong idea that when we are close to God and we see God, we are confronted with His presence, that we'll have a sense of being perfect or being wonderful. That's not true. The opposite I see is a phenomena that when people get into the presence of God and we see God, that there's an opposite phenomena, that the thing is that we are confronted with ourselves then in the light of God, and you realize all your shortcomings. Everything just comes so clear to you. And you don't feel so strong as you thought. And a fallacy is that we think being close to God, we must feel very strong. We must feel so powerful. And then it doesn't happen, and we don't feel so much so powerful and so strong and so wonderful. And the result is we never become fruitful for God in our lives because we misinterpret what's happening in our own lives. I want to read you a scripture from Jeremiah chapter 18. It said Jeremiah was sent by God to the potter's house, and you maybe know the scripture very well. He says to Jeremiah, this is what the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord. He says, go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as best as he could. Then the word of the Lord came to him, and he says, house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hands. Job, can I not do with you as this potter does with the clay? In his hands, the potter's hands, this piece of clay was marred. This object was marred. And I want to tell you sometimes, in our lives, we are in God's hands, we are marred. We are not perfect. There's a process that we're going through. But in the times when, and in a process, there are times when we're not perfect. And our ducks are not in a row. And things are not wonderful. And you don't feel good because you're marred. You messed up, to give a better word for us to understand. You messed up, but you're in God's hands. But you're as close to Him as you can get. You might get closer, but you not feel it because you are about to be shaped. But things are not right. And I'm going to share with you this evening about this so that you will understand your position and understand the way God uses us and understand the way of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit's work is He comes alongside and He works with us, but it's another work of the Holy Spirit. He works in us also to change according to what God wants to do. God fills us with His Spirit, and initially it's wonderful, and we receive this power, and there's a joy, and there's a strength, and there's the presence of God. But that same presence of God does things in us and make us aware of certain things, which causes certain things to happen inside of us, which we don't always like, you know. We want to feel strong. We want to feel in charge. We want to feel that God is pleased with us, which He is through Jesus, but there are certain things He wants to change in us. And therefore, we don't always feel so wonderful. And let me tell you something. There's times in our lives where there's continuous times where we will, in a long term, feel that in an inadequacy, in the presence of God, and not feeling so wonderful. But yet that's a time when God wants to work through us and in us. And that's the time of wisdom. Solomon wrote about this. He says, you will not find wisdom in a house of revelry. In a house of mourning, that's where you find wisdom. And sometimes we go through stuff and we don't understand it. Tomorrow I'm going to go in depth with that and to help you to put you in a place where you find yourself. Say, God, yes, I understand this. I'm not confused anymore. I'm ready for you to use me. If I see God, I look at people looking at God and seeing God, and they testified about seeing God. I look at what happened to them. Moses says in Exodus 33, I want to see your glory, God. I want to look at your glory and show me your glory, O God. And the Lord said to him, I will hide you in a cleft of the rock. And then he said, I'll let my goodness pass in front of you. And it's interesting that God says that. He says also in Jeremiah 9:23, if you want to boast about this, that you know me, that I exercise kindness and justice. He's kind, he's good. So he says, I'll let my goodness, that's how he introduced himself to Moses. He says, I'll let my goodness pass in front of you. Now look at Moses' life and I see the result of that. In Numbers 12, he says about himself, he says, I'm the most humble man on the face of the earth. How did this come to you? He says it about himself. But how did that come to pass, that he became like that? And look at Job's life. Job says in Job 29 verse 4, he says, oh, for the days of my prime, when God's intimate friendship blessed my house. He says, the rocks drenched cream for me. When I went to the city gates, people were rise. They could not believe that I speak to them. They drank in my words like the early spring rains. I was like a king among his troops. The same guy says in Job 20:42 verse 5, he says, I thought I knew you, but now my eyes have seen you. And I repent in sackcloth and ash. There's something that happened. There's a brokenness that came about in his life. This man who said, I was like a king among my troops. When God's intimate friendship blessed my house, even the rocks drenched cream for me, I was so blessed. Same guy says, when I saw him, things changed. A brokenness came about. So we can look at different people in the Bible. Moses. We look at the two guys that comes to the temple in Luke chapter 18. The one guy, he was boasting about how wonderful he was, and he was looking at the other guy. He says, I'm glad I'm not like that sinner. I'm doing this and that and the other. And he was boasting about himself. And the other guy says, he went into the temple, and the Bible says he did not even look at the Lord. He beat his chest. He says, be merciful to me, Lord. I'm a sinner. And Jesus said, that last one will go home more righteous than the other. There's a brokenness. There's something that draws God like a magnet. Brokenness. It is not perfectness. You see, we've got this fallacy that we think perfectness will, and we've got this purity in us, and we become so wonderful, and we judge people, and we sit in a position where we become like gods ourselves, and we think God will be drawn to that. That he abhors that. But brokenness draws him like a magnet. Isaiah 66 verse 2, he says, this is the one I esteem, the one with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Isaiah 57 verse 15, he says, I am holy, oh, and highly God. I am holy God. I live in high and holy temple in heaven. In a big contrast, but also with him or her, with a contrite heart and a broken spirit. It's a big contrast that he says in verse 16, to revive the spirit of the contrite. There's something that draws his attention and draws him like a magnet. It's brokenness, not perfectness. So that we all understand where God lives. God loves to live with me when I'm humble and broken, not when I'm full of pride. That's why Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12. He says, to keep me from becoming conceited like the devil, I was given a thorn in my flesh. He says, Lucifer, the devil, beat me with his fist. I asked God three times to take it away from him, and for me, and the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. His brokenness. So that we'll understand something tonight, because God wants to use you and me powerfully, but not in our perfectness. And tomorrow I'm going to conclude this whole message, and it's important to to find ourselves also in a place from where we understand these discipline. Because me people say, ah, kijk, I kom weg met alles. Let me tell you something. Nobody comes weg with nothing. you don't come weg. He'll catch you somewhere. Especially if he's a child, you know. If he's son and daughter, wrachtig, hy voorsien vir jou. Hy sal jou voorsien. You know, he'll see you. And you'll not come weg. Nobody comes weg with nothing. So don't you worry about that. Just you live your life. Leave the other oaks. God will deal with that. So there's a dimension which God is calling us into, where we see something about God and being changed in it, in His presence. I'm not changed into feeling so wonderful. I'm changed into where I'm confronted with myself. There's a big but. In that process, I have to position myself in a place of true humility, not in false humility. False humility says this: God, oh, not me. And when He calls me, I don't want to go. Look at me. I don't want to do this. True humility says, here I am, God. You take me. We see this in Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah, he says, in a year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, exalted, seated on the throne. And a train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces. Two they covered their feet, and two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man with unclean lips, and I live among a people with unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this is what touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here I am, Lord, send me. Now we read this and we read over it, but we must understand what happened here. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up in His glory. The seraphim, they described that the angels are calling, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. What a fantastic scene. He should have felt fantastic. No, he didn't. He didn't feel fair. He saw his inadequacies. He describes that he comes from a people with unclean lips. I don't know, maybe it was a bit of Afrikaans background, because Afrikaans, meer vloekwoorde is alle aan 12 te samen. In English, you have about one vloekwoord for something. Afrikaans got bak en fuk en tak. You get your hele klomp vullen, verstaan? And I think he was mid Afrikaans, you know. And he says, he said, I come from a people. In other words, I don't even have an Oma that prayed for me. That's what he said. I've got nothing. I'm standing here. I've got this problem. I've got this thing that's obvious. It's so obvious. Here I am with this thing. Now God sends an angel with a live coal from the altar, live coal, to touch on him, not any place, on that very thing that was bothering him. But this touch, we must also see what it is. You say, praise the Lord, yeah, it's a live coal. He burned him. He purged him. That wasn't nice either. So something happened there, and tomorrow I want to get into it a little bit more, not to make you feel bad, but actually to put you in a place where you feel God, yes, like Isaiah, when God called him, he says, here I am, Lord. I want you to be, at the end of this weekend, you'll say, here I am, send me, God. Because let me tell you, 80% of us sitting here don't always feel on top of the world. We are confronted with the whole world around us, with ourselves, with shortcomings and as goeters, and we're thinking we're so far from God because we don't feel so good. Let me tell you, you feel less good the closer you get to Him. Because you're confronted with yourself and all your things. But He wants to touch you at that very place which you think disqualifies you. He touches you there. He goes for that. For that very thing that tonight you sit here and you're thinking, God, I want to serve you, but I wish I could just fix this or that, and it would be so wonderful. And he says, I don't think so, because you would have been full of pride, and I like you to be broken rather. But let me fix it like I want to fix it. I'll make sure you never touch that again. You know? And he does. Woe to me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I come from a people of unclean lips. And God sent the angel, and he touched him right there with a live coal. Job wrote, or it's written in Job, Job 14, verse 15, 16 and 17, he says, you will call and I will answer you. You will long for the creature your hands have made. That's from God's perspective, you see. He calls me and I answer him because he longs for the creature his hands have made. Surely then you will count my steps. He knows everything, but not keep track of my sin. My offenses will be sealed up in a bag. He will cover over my sin. That's what he does. But it's not like we get away from stuff. Tomorrow I'll share on that. We don't get away with. Nobody gets away with nothing. But God covers over. And he doesn't keep track. He removes. And that puts us in a position where even though we don't feel that perfectness, we don't feel that power. I know how it feels sometimes when you fall to the Spirit. You feel you can take up the world, on the world. But the next day, it seems like you don't feel like it anymore, you know. And you wonder, what's happened with my life? Why am I not feeling like last night when I was in a meeting? Today, when I need it, I don't feel like it. But it's still the same. It's just a feeling and just a sense. It's all the same. God's commission is on our lives. In our brokenness. He's more drawn to your brokenness. He's more drawn to your humility. He's more drawn to your want and your need than when you were perfect. Because in our perfectness, we sin a sin which God abhors. He says, I give more grace to the humble, but I resist the proud. I frustrate the proud, actually, is what he says. Therefore, submit unto God, and then you resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's why when we live in a place of humility before God, you don't have a fight with the devil all the time. Because you get people that live it all from the devil off. Die hele dag gaan het oor die duivel. Die duivel het nou weer dit, en die duivel dat. And then they'll tell you all these big things about the devil, and the new thing they found out what the devil is doing again. And I don't know all that stuff, really, I promise. And I don't want to know them. I don't want to know about the devil all the day. But I want to know about God, submitting unto him. And the devil himself will flee from me. That's what the Bible says. I saw the Lord, I lifted up. Here I am, Lord. Send me. I want to read you a poem that Spurgeon, they call him the Prince of Preachers. He wrote this poem. Let's find Spurgeon's poem. I wrote it down. He says, it is very wise to look within ourselves, to discover our weakness and spiritual poverty. But it's very unwise to be always dwelling on that weakness and poverty, forgetting that our strength does not lie there, nor our riches to be found in ourselves. Let us look within to be humbled, but not to be made unbelieving. Look within to be driven from all the confidence in ourselves, but never so to shake our absolute confidence in God. That's what he wrote. So it's good to understand my weakness, but then I have to move from there and realize, in spite of this, that's not where I find my answers. I find my answer in that place where Isaiah found himself when God says, whom shall I send? He says, here I am, God. Send me. And he must understand what he went through. He was burned with a live coal in that very area which bothered him. That it still had to heal. The man hasn't healed yet. The process of healing still had to come afterwards. He was on top of being feeling bad about it, he was burned on it as well. You must see the severity of this. And it happens sometimes in our lives that God comes in with a live coal and he burns that very thing that bothers us. But then there's a hole, there's a wound that needs to be healed. But in that situation, that same situation of still not healing and still that brokenness, he says, whom shall I send? He says, here I am, God. Send me in this state. Because he's humble. Because there's a true humility that comes from that. I want to call you to a place and also, like I said this morning to the people, I have no in-depth knowledge about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's very limited. I just shared on each one of them very limited way, but my oogmerk, what do you call that? Sorry? My target of that wasn't to teach people step number 1 to 10, but to stir a desire in people's hearts. Because the Bible says we should desire His spiritual gifts, these gifts of God. He wants to send us. He wants us to be effective for Him through His power. You see, if you could maybe get the DVD or whatever to listen to it, or the I don't know if you made a CD so that you can listen to it and just be stirred in your own heart, so that God will stir up these desires which come from Him. So the first step that happens when we see God, there's a brokenness that comes, which is important. The second step that happens is God broadens our vision. He broadens our vision. You see, in South Africa today, each one of us needs to be broadened our vision, because we become clamped down because of situations that happen. You have situations here. You have great challenges here in your community. I've heard this couple of days now that terrible things has happened. Now this tends to do this with me. I get tunnel vision. God wants to broaden my vision. He wants to open my mind. And this is what happens when I see Him, when I'm in His presence. There's an opening of my mind and an opening of my life, and I can look and see differently. And I sense that the Lord wants to challenge us today and for us tonight here that to come in His presence and to be challenged in your vision and your limitlessness of thinking. You see, myself, I realize it's easy to become limited in your thinking. It's so easy to just be in a place where you can't see and you don't know. I remember I was years ago. I had this sense of when I heard English people speak in the English language, especially when it's in a dialect or an accent which is typical, like the Geordies from Newcastle. They've got a certain accent. And I remember there were people in my congregation who spoke like that. When I spoke, it was like music. I couldn't believe it because my background doesn't gel. My great grandfather was a POW in an Anglo-Boer War. He was in St. Helena in 1902. He was, and I was taught since I was like this to hate the English. My opa would show me my navel and he'd say, "That's why the Engels are geskieted," you know. I hated them. I don't know how, but I hated them. And now, when I heard these English people speak, my heart jumped for joy. I couldn't understand it. But it was something which God was busy doing, and He was opening a new avenue in my heart, which I didn't know. I just remember one morning, I was sitting before God, and He spoke to me. He said, "Get your passport ready, Joe. You're going to go overseas again." And I remember I looked at this and I couldn't believe it. And I thought, maybe this will be next year. He sometimes does things quick and sometimes slow. And I thought this is going to be a slow one, maybe. You know, he'll say this now and he'll do it next year. He's got twee spoete, starig en baie starig. You know, that feels like it sometimes. And the next day, a businessman, Bill Forbes, phones me. He says, "Joe, are you ready to go to the UK? I want to buy you a ticket. There's people that need your ministry there." Very next day. And now God opened my perspective in His presence. It was Peter in Acts chapter 10. He went up to the roof, it says, to pray. And then he became hungry and he made food and then he fell asleep. You know, that's why Jesus, when he taught them to pray, he taught them the Onse Father, our Father in heaven. He prayed in 15 seconds. That was for Peter. he had him in mind as well. And then he had a vision of all this unclean, you know about this unclean animals that he had to slaughter and eat. And actually God wanted him, he spoke through that other nations and other cultures, which you see, he was a bit of a racist, extremely. Later on, he kept on having trouble with it. And so he had a very limited view of who God wants to save and who not, you know. And God opened his heart because he had a plan for him. He would enter a heathen's house and the Holy Spirit will come on those people. So he opened his heart. Just like he did with me, with the English people. I never thought I would go and minister in the UK of all places. I went there 4 years in a row. And God just started to use me. It was amazing. Couldn't believe it. And here Peter went into Cornelius' house. He started to speak and the Holy Spirit came upon these people and he had nothing to do with it. He didn't even lay hands on people. He spontaneously just touched people. So God took his limited view of things in the world and he just opened it up. I don't want to tell you that you and me, we need that today like anything. We just read that so much. Especially in the time we are in. And especially when we are caught up in situations like we are. We can easily just clamp closed like this. But we shouldn't. Say, God, I want to see you. I want to be broken in your presence. But broken so much that you'll open my mind and my spirit so that I'll do what you want to do. Not what I think I should do. Not to preserve myself, but to be willing for you to use me like you want me to do. Not like I want me to do. Or like I think I should be holy, but like you think I'm holy. It's different. Acts chapter 10, verse 9 to 22, we find Cornelius. It was Acts chapter 10, verse 1 to 7, actually. Cornelius was praying like he really regularly did, and an angel appeared to him. And the angel spoke to him. He said, God saw your gifts to the poor, and he says he heard your prayers. And in that moment, God spoke to him about going to fetch Peter to come to his house. It opened a total new avenue. Also, a foreign person, you know, it's something where he was seeking God, and suddenly he saw the angels. God revealed himself to him, and there was a new opening. Which he didn't realize that this would change his whole life and his whole family's life forever. I remember I had to go to Holland 1 year in somebody else's stead. Have you ever had to do something in somebody else's stead? When you get off the plane there, hulle kyk verby jou so. Hulle sê, "Waar's Francois?" So no, I had to come in his near man, "Waar's Francois nou?" I had to go in somebody else's stead. That's not lucky, you know. So they asked, it was a midnight flight. So I sat on the airport, I was depressed. I said, I'm flipping Holland. So, it's November, man, it's cold. I think, what the hell moet ek in Holland maak? I sit in mop, you know. And ek's op die plane, 2 uur die oggend, praat die Here met my. Hy sê vir my, Joe, jy moet jou hart reg kry. Hierdie was my plan dat jy moet gaan. You must get your heart right. I love these people. If you don't get your heart right, I can't use you here. You must your reg rukke. Sê, Here, forgive me. So. The first night I slept there, an angel appeared to me in a dream. But I'm going to shock you now. The angel didn't have pink wangiekies and rooi lippies. It was a black man. He said, I'm a messenger from God. And I want to tell you how to minister to these people because you don't know. He blew my mind. I thought angels were like all blonde and blue eyes and, you know, that's what I thought. He was a black man. He said, I'm a messenger from God. I want to tell you, you don't know how to minister to these people. And he told me how to minister to them. 10 minutes in my first ministry, I could capture those guys, those Hollandse ouens. Kan jy glo, hulle verstaan nie Afrikaans, jy is die stupidste hulle. Hulle verstaan Afrikaans. Ek verstaan die blikskolle wat my geïnterpreteer het. Ek het hom verstaan. Paar keer het hy foute gemaak. Ek sê, nee, 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 nee. Dis nie so nie. Moet ek Engels praat, dan praat hy Hollands met hulle. Ek het gesê, hy praat nonsens. Ek sê, nee, I don't say that. Ek kon hom verstaan. So God opened my sinuses completely in that Holland trip. The black man angel. Can you believe it? Huh? What do you think the AVB will think about that? Sheila Koons, it was amazing. And to realize, but it's not like I think. And why did God send an angel, which was a black man? It's also to touch my heart, to understand things about whom God's messengers are. And now things doesn't look like a kinder Bible, you know. Met liewe Jesus en al die oukies en liewe Jesus het ook nie wit gelyk nie. Hy is in die Midde-Ooste. Hy het 'n groot krom neus en hy is 'n blas vel gehad, verstaan? Dis liewe Jesus, verstaan jy? So we must understand what God's doing in our lives. And I want you to open your hearts, because when we see God, He will humble us, but you also widen our perspective. He'll open your sinuses. So that you will say at the end of your day, you will not say, I've completed my way. I will not sing like Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. So that I did it your way, God. I've fulfilled everything that you've given me. Everything that you've put in me, I've spilled it out. All the gifts that you planted in me, and that's what I shared this morning, is so important. That I recognize the gifts. How did I recognize it? I said this morning, by desire. Because God plants, He initiates the desire. But if there's no desire, it means that I'm not opening my heart for it. Say, God, I'm opening my heart so that you plant a desire in my heart so that you can use me in this. So He allows brokenness in my life, in His presence. I'm close to Him. I'm so close to Him. His hands is on me, but I'm broken. I don't feel like a, but I'm ready, God. I'm ready. If you want to send me, I'm ready. Send me, God. I'm the one who's burned on that place which bothers me. You burned me. He still has to heal, but I'm ready, Lord. You understand what I'm saying to you? You know, if we don't take up this attitude, you will lie on your deathbed and you'll still think, Here, ek moet nog eers. Ooh, yes, ek moet eers reg voel. Ek moet voel die krag is op my, dan kan die Here my. You understand? On your deathbed, you're still going to think like that. You've never been used by God. Never been effective for Him. Because you misunderstood what's happening in your life. You're thinking it's about you. It's not about you. It's about God. It's about Him sending us. It's about us being obedient for His call on our lives. Whom shall I send? Here I am, God. Send me. I want to do in my talk, the closing of my talk tonight, I want to do something with you. When we talk about seeing God and looking for God, I want to help you tonight, and some of you will find this very familiar, some not. But I just feel I want to give you a tool to help you to look in the Spirit. When we see visions, or we look to see what God will say to us, like Habakkuk chapter 2, he says, I'll go stand on my rampart there, I'll go stand in a quiet place, and I'll look to see what He'll say to me. In other words, there's a man who looks for visions, for God to show him, to look to see God. And when we read about Isaiah, it says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. I tell you, this was not a physical, this wasn't an open eye vision. This is probably just in His Spirit that this all happened. I learned a lot from Daniel. Daniel chapter 2, verse 28, he said to Nebuchadnezzar, when Nebuchadnezzar asked him, he said, Daniel, can you interpret my dream and tell me my dream? He says, I can't. He says, all your wise men and interpreters can't do it either. But there's a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, he says. Then he says, O Nebuchadnezzar, your dream and the visions that passed through your mind was this. He said, it wasn't an open eye, it was passing through his mind. Daniel chapter 4, he said the same thing. He said, the dream and the visions that pass through your mind. And then in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel spoke about himself. He saw prophetic visions of the future of the world. There's still some of these things that still has to take place. He says, the visions of my mind terrified me. He said. Now when Isaiah looked, he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. It was a vision that he saw in his spirit mind. And I want to help you tonight to for us to look at that and see what God does with us. And some will battle with this, and some will not be easy for this. I've found that some people battle to see visions, they battle to look in. They don't have opvangs, and I don't even have sneeuwbeeld. And it's, we're all made different. You see, God has got two intimate ways by which he speaks. He's one like this. The other way is 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 2, where David says, the Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His words on my tongue. That's John chapter 7, verse 37, and last day of the feast, Jesus says, come to me, all you are thirsty, and I'll give you the Spirit to drink, and it will become a fountain of living water welling up from the inside. That's a spontaneous flow of words from your inside. Now, I want to not emphasize that this morning, this evening. I want to speak about the visions, but I want to mention about the words that flows up. Some people have this, some the visions, some have both. But I want to encourage you to have both. Some people battle with the vision thing because they think they're more rational thinkers. I'm a very rational thinker. They tested me. I'm a more left brain dominant. So that's how I am. And that's why what God does with me is supernatural for me. So it's not because I'm right brain dominant because I'm prophetic. It's because God's made me to hear his voice. That's why I'm prophetic. And God's put us together to hear his voice. So it's not about your brain. It's about your desire. It's about what do you want? How much do you desire God to speak through you? How much do you desire God to give you visions? Do you desire it? If you don't desire it, don't bother it. It's all right. You can leave it. But if you really want to say, God, show me visions. I'm going to give you a little tool to help you. And some of you are going to battle in a meeting like this, but at home, when you're quiet, you're going to be able to do it. In the day of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord high lifted up. I saw things, the Lord. How do I do that? How do I see visions? How do I look in the Spirit to see visions? I found that if I'm filled with the Spirit of God, he shows me his pictures. Now, it's just like Daniel said, the visions of your head. It's where your imagination lies. It's the same place. But God fills that. And that's a tool he uses. That's our spirit mind. So what I do is, I go to a scene which I find pleasant. I'm not a seaside scene. Okay. So I'm not going there often, you know. I go to where I grew up on a farm in Bronkhorstspruit. We had a big circuit gut with a bloekom bush. What do you call a bluegum? Black what? Blue gum bush. And there was like willow trees hanging into the sacred god. And there was one place was there was a mulberry tree with a natural feeding for the gilfus. It was beautiful. Beautiful. So I remember as a kid, I would sit on the rocks. I'll watch this pool. I'll sit there for hours. And the gilfunke would make their nests and it almost hang in the water from the willow trees. And I remember that I would go sit. It was a pleasant place. But now I would go back in my imagination. I'll go back there. I'll sit on the rocks. And I'll watch the pool. That place is long gone. It's destroyed, you know. People built dams up higher than our farm. And the river is not flowing anymore. The whole place is destroyed. It doesn't exist there, but it exists here. So I go there. And I sit there. And then I imagine I'm sitting there and I'm watching everything. But now I draw on my whole imagination. I close my eyes and I can hear the gilfunke. And I hear the waters. I can hear a dove. Afar I can hear a dove. And I see the gilfus catching all those mulberries that's falling into the water. And I sit there. And I get my whole imagination to work. But then I imagine somebody sitting next to me. And I watch. I see Jesus. And then I watch at one stage what he's doing, and I stop imagining. I check what's he doing. What's he doing? And he gets up and he does stuff and he says things. See, I open myself in my spirit to look, to see. That's just a tool. Later on, you don't have to go through this whole thing. You just look. But you have to start somewhere. But I still do this. The other day, God had an appointment with me. I had to do a seaside scene because of the people's sake. I was at a prophetic school that I was presenting, and I went through this, and I took the people in a seaside thing. I went through it myself. I was imagining I was walking with Jesus on the beach, and when I started to stop imagining and look what he did, he picked up a cowrie shell in his hand. And I didn't know that, but he had something in his hand, and he gave me this shell. But it's a perfect shell. Years ago, I was walking on a beach, and I said, God, give me a cowrie shell, please. And I picked one up, but it had a hole in it. It wasn't perfect. But it was in a situation that was bad. It was something that was broken in my life. But it presented that. And this time, he had a cowrie, but it was perfect. And I knew God's going to fix this what was broken. It's awesome. Yeah, I never knew that. It surprised me. That's how beautiful it is. And you'll be surprised what he does. And that scene with our farm, where I sat with him on rocks, he got up, he took a stone and he threw it on the water. It's long before the shack. This. In the shack, he does it in a movie. We throw the stone. He said to me, Joe, you're not big, relax, man. You're the tense. And he laughed and he was joyful. I thought, yes, this can't be Jesus. He must be a serious oak. He was anointed with the joy of God. You know, God anointed him with joy, oil of joy. He was always in his presence, full of joy, and his delight was in mankind. Proverbs chapter 8. So I saw him in a different light. I want to help you tonight. And I'm going to choose a scene that's going to be neutral. It's not going to be seaside nor the plas scene. Okay? I want to take you into a park. I want you to close your eyes. It's worth the while to do this. I tell you. And I'm giving you a tool, and I want to help you that when you go home, you can do this at your own leisure. You can sit and you'll think, maybe, Joe, what are you doing? Are you wasting my time? No, I'm giving you a tool. This will blow your mind, I tell you. This will touch your life, I tell you. Won't you close your eyes, please? I want you to imagine you're walking into a park. There's a bed of daisies. You're bare feet. So you can feel the grass and you wiggle your toes. I want you to just use all your imagination. There are tall trees as well, and you can hear the wind in the trees. I want you to do that. I want you to feel the grass underneath your feet. You wiggle your toes, but you hear the wind in the trees. You can hear a dove far off. It's a dove. And as you smell roses. You see, oh, there's a bed of roses as well. And you smell the rose. It's a pure smell. And there's a bench. And you go sit on that bench. And again, you become aware of your surrounding. I want you to just get it there. Sitting on this bench. It's this park. Tall trees, you hear the wind through the leaves. There's a slight wind, just a breeze. You can still feel the grass with your feet, your toes. Next to you, somebody's sitting. You're aware of somebody sitting next to you on that bench. And as you look at the corner of your eye, you realize this is Jesus sitting there. I want you to keep it just there. He's there. Now I want you to just be aware of him for a while. Just keep your imagination there. Now I want you to just look. What's he doing? What's he doing now? What's he doing? Just look what he's doing. You can almost stop imagining. Just what is Jesus doing? sitting next to you. What's he do? Some of you, it will really be very foreign. You'll battle. I know that. But I want to ask you not to give up. God loves it when we persevere. And sometimes when you're a battler in this, when your breakthrough comes, it's more sweeter than anything else in life. I know people who really battled in this, but they persevered, and they would sit there, and every day they would come before God. You don't need to come for a long time. I don't have a long concentration span. Ek wag op die Here, as ek 10 minute klaar is, hy het nog iets gedoen, dan waai ek. Verstaan jy? Maar môre is ek weer daar. Tomorrow, dan gaan jy my weer daar sien. Verstaan jy? And so it's not to sit there hours and not on rock in slaap. So I don't do that. I'd sit 10 minutes, nothing, dan gaan ek, maar môre. Say, God, tomorrow you see me again. Ek gaan weer hier wees. Ek wag. Want ek wil hê, jy moet my vul, jy moet my wys. And I promise you, I know people who's really, really been battling with was like nothing. And because of their perseverance, God has changed something in their lives. It became so part of their lives that, you know, He took them out of where they were. But I want to encourage you in this. There's another thing I want to just mention to you is that, you know, I spoke about being filled with the Spirit. Now, being filled with the Spirit is a big thing for some people. But it's a very small thing for God. Because He says He desires more for us than us. In James chapter 4 verse 5, He says, do you think the Scripture says for nothing that he who lives in you envies intensely towards you? Now, He wants to fill me more than I want Him to fill me. That's for sure. He wants me to be full of Him. That's why He made me. That's why the Holy Spirit is there. Now, for me to be optimum in my visions, and I need God to take hold of my being, you know, of my imagination and that part. We call it the imagination. It's actually your spiritual eyes. Now, I need to fill that. What I do is I often sit, let God fill me. Now, I tell you, that's me. I have a short concentration span. I don't wait long. 10 minutes. I promise you. All my life has been like that. I sit 10 minutes and let God fill me. And He does. He fills me. If I stand here and say, God, fill me with your Spirit. And I say, ek drink kom in, Here, maak my vol. Asseblief, Here, maak my vol. And I do it. That's what He does. Now, I can lie to you. I can tell you, I'm lying before God for hours. Nou sit jy hier, dink jy, ek kan nie doen, ek het 'n job om te doen, verstaan. Sê, ek gaan nooit daar ook goed kan doen nie. Maar as ek vir jou sê, 10 minute, dan sê jy, ja, wrachtig, ek kan dit ook doen. That's what Jesus did with prayer. They asked Him, teach us to pray. Hy sê, kom, die ouens kyk mekaar, hier sê, kom, 'n ding hoor. Sê hulle vir mekaar, hierdie ouwe gaan ons leer. he taught them, the onse Vader, our Father, 15 seconds. Why? So that people would do it. If He taught them something heavy, they wouldn't do it. He taught them something they can do. It's not about the hours you put in, it's that you do it. It's not for me to sit before God for hours that I sit before God. I sit before God. Vandaag en morgen en oormorgen, ek sit voor hom, ek pla hom. Ek los hom nie uit nie. Maar ek kan nie vir ure doen nie. Ek raak aan die slaap. Now here's the thing with me. I would sit before God, and I just share this with you. Maybe you've heard me say this before, but I just want to help people in this, because this is important. I've learned this wonderful thing about God is that He is not negative towards me. He's totally positive towards me. So if I talk about 10 minutes, He doesn't say, ja, kyk die flippin ou. Hy kan nie sy uur, hy praat nie so met my nie. Hy sê, dis Joey die. Ek like vir Joey, ek vir 10 minutes. En binnen 10 minuten gaan ek omvul, verstaan. Hy ken my so. Nou sit ek, nou sê, God, vul me. I wait, now this is about waiting on God and He vul me. As ek sit hier en maak my vol, dan begin my gedagtes, I think about things, you can't believe it. Anything in the world comes into my mind. I think about my tires of my car running off on the inside, and I'm thinking about, have I given a dog food? And yes, dis verskriklik. Then I get frustrated. I say, God, forgive me. And He rebuked me. He said to me, Joe, I don't live in your mind. I'm not dependent on you thinking of me to fill you. Wat sê Psalm 139? Op berge en dale, overal is God. Waar my gedagtes ook mag dwaal, ook daar is God. Ons het baie gesing al. Graad 2 het ons gesing, Alberta dra sandale, berge en dale. Even where my mind goes, there God is. So I found out, it doesn't matter where I think, I'm waiting on him, he's a person. So he will fill me, even if my mind goes off. All I do is I just bring it back and say, God, fill me. And if it's important stuff that comes in, I write it down, because I found this. The Lord said to me, do not clamp down on all your thoughts, because if you're in my presence, you're creative. Don't just reject all your thoughts. If you're in my presence, you become creative. So don't just, you must be wide awake. When your thoughts come, there are some of them that are answers about things that you were looking for. Some of them are real stuff that God wants to talk to you about. So that's an amazing time of fruitfulness. So it's not like in an occult, you must empty yourself. No, God, you get filled. It's different, you see. You don't blank yourself out. And I said, I see now David uit en dan gaat hy op. It's not like that with God. It's different. You understand? I always thought, I have to concentrate myself into him. I would sit there and say, daar sê Here, daar gaat hy nou. Daar sê. It's not like that. He's this person. I wait on him. He comes and he follows me. And I share with you my heart. I can lieg vir jou. Ek wil lieg en sê ek sit hier. Ek doen nie. Ek het nie konsentrasie. Ek sukkel. Ek het baie slegte konsentrasie. Ek kan nie mense counsel nie. As mense van myself wil 'n lewensstorie van my vertel, val my hoed in my skoene. Ek wil vertel. Ek sit so na 5 minute en begin ek so skuins gaan so. Ek hoor nie 'n woord wat hulle sê nie. Ek gaan so en dan dink ek, ek wonder of ek regop sit of skuins. Ek kan nie voel, gaan so. Staan. That's me. Got a major deficit concerning being a pastor. the Lord had to make up with other things in my life. So I sit and then I say, God, fall me. And he falls me. Sometimes I feel it. Sometimes I don't feel it. But I don't go on feeling. I go on what it says in Luke chapter 11. Where he says, you are evil. You know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will the Heavenly Father give you his spirit if you ask him? So who does he give his spirit to? Those who ask him. It's not for hours and things. I sit and he fills me. But it's important that he fills me, you see. So that he can occupy my imagination. My spirit mind. So when I sit and I look and I imagine this, I get in a place where he gets up and he does things. How many of you experience stuff when we waited on him now? And you saw, did he do things and is there somebody that wants to share, that's got something to share which you think is something special? Anybody wants to share? You're so welcome, please. Niemand nie. We say a Christian sonder getuienis is a sendingveld. I really hope in my heart that you stir up a desire for this. That you will not just leave it there. You see, it's important that we desire for God, we come before God. Tomorrow, I want to share around this, how important it is for me and you to do this. Because God creates through his words and his actions in our lives. He has a spiritual impact on us, but he also creates through it. And there's a thing about this. If I don't hear the word, it will not happen. You see, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by what? The word of God. What word? The Rhema, the spoken word. That's the now word. It's a spoken word of God. That's why faith comes. And by that faith, he creates. See? So there's no other way. Things not just somewhere happen. God speaks things in existence. Since Genesis, he spoke things in existence. He wants to speak things in existence in your life. That's why it's so important that you and me are positioned in that place, that we are open towards his voice. And I concentrated this morning now, or this evening, on the vision side. But there's that another place where his words flow up spontaneously. Where I sit, how I do that, I take a journal and I sit with a pen and I wait and I try not to think. Let the words come up in my spirit and I write. I think, yes, like this is amazing. You know? Then sometimes I think, this is wishful thinking. Then the next day this happens. Then I realize this is not wishful thinking. This is flipping awesome. Stan. So I minister to people a lot prophetically, but I do it a lot more to myself. So that I can become a believing in God's word in my own life before I believe for a word for you. You understand that? And that's what God wants to do in you and me, is to give us an overflow. He speaks in us and there's an overflow into other people's lives. 2 Corinthians 1:3. I praise the God of all comfort and encouragement. So I explained how God is. Paul says, the God of all comfort and encouragement, who comforts me in all my troubles, so that I can comfort others with the same comfort I receive. There's an overflow. Isaiah 50 verse 4, the sovereign Lord had given me an instructive tongue to know how to sustain the weary. Morning by morning he wakes me like one being taught. He's opened my ears, I hear his voice. You see, he wants to fill me with his words so that it has an overflow in other people's lives. But also it creates in your life. He puts things in motion. He speaks and he puts things in motion in your own life.